That was a little unusual, the regular offering being taken that way too, but thank you for your flexibility. Let's again pray that God would use these Bibles. Father, we thank you so much that it's our privilege to know Steve and Mary Lee and the work they do through Saul. But their network, Lord, is in meeting these men and women who take the gospel to these difficult places. People who are, a lot of them are illiterate, and they can really benefit from listening to your very words. And so we thank you that we can be a part of this. We thank you for World Mission, who makes these Bibles and distributes them, and we pray your blessing on this process now, on this offering. Again, to you be honor and glory. Thank you for allowing us to be part. In Christ's name, amen. Yeah, Steve, we love you, bro. Thanks for doing that. And by the way, next week we have a guest speaker. You know who that is? Steve Torgerson. All right. So thank you, Steve. We look forward to perhaps you'll even sprinkle in some update on what's going on. I'm sure you will. Well, let's get going. Focus, boys and girls. What's important? If I came up to you and said, what's important to you? You know, what's important? Is anything important? Nothing's important. Maybe. Is anything important? Well, for some people, fashion's important. This isn't really high-end, but, you know, for these people, looking good and cool is important. And I can tell you, for this Project Runway designers, their whole life is poured into fashion. Well, fashion's not only limited to clothing, but it's also in the designing of our homes. We're caught up in. Many of us are very, it's very important what our home looks like. And some of you are very skillful, and I've been in a few homes of yours, and they're very beautiful, and the design and the interior. Even food has its fashion qualities. You know, really good Michelin star restaurants, it not only tastes good, but it has to look good. So this is kind of a fashion statement with this lobster and steak and those Loud Cabin French fries or whatever. Fun. Is fun important? Yeah. Yeah. Fun is really important, right? And oftentimes it's translated into sports. And you know, Pastor James likes one of those games with the little ball that's on the ground. And you know, it's fun, you know. We like it. It's competitive. We like the competition. We like playing with friends. It's just fun. So sports can also be very important to us. What do you think this one's all about? Work. So the flip side of sports or recreation, I hope your work is fun for you, but for many of us it's not that. It's not fun, right? But work, I have to pick on you guys. When you sit down front, you get picked on, Nathan and Hannah. Where do you guys work? Yeah, right? So boys and girls, you don't have to go to work like mom and dad may. Maybe mom's a homemaker, but she still has to work, overseeing everything that's going on in the home, making sure the meals are planned, and everything else that goes on to keep you back and forth to school and your activities. Or your mom might be a professional working mother, or your dad's working whatever, but this is your work. This morning I was praying with a little friend, and she told me she had a classmate who likes to eat his homework. You know, I used to hear the dog ate my homework as an excuse. You know, if this guy eats his own homework, I don't know where it went. I ate it. But work pays, right? So if you work hard in school, then you get a good job, and you work hard, and you get some money, right? It pays off. And quite frankly, everyone in this room has worked hard to be where you are right now. To be a part of DB community is not a freebie. You've had to put some sweat and effort, or perhaps your parents put sweat and effort and left you a lot of money. Maybe that could happen. Or maybe you won the lottery. But I think for 99.9% of everyone here, you've had to work hard. Because work pays. Connected to this can be a love of money. That's what's important. The more money I have, the more I can buy things, I can do things. And so money becomes very, very important to me. No matter how I get it, I might not get it through work. I might not want to really work. I might want to steal. I might want to do other bad things. But money becomes very, very important. For many people, money is the most important. What do you think this is all about? Friends. Friends are important. Does everybody recognize the guy in the middle? Yeah, it's Andrew, right? And Gavin and Edgar, some close friends. So for most of us, friends are very important. Family's important. And I think we all would agree to that. And it's a very held value among non-Christians and this community. And it's a very family-friendly community. We can thank God for that. What is family? It's beginning to take some different definitions in certain parts of the world. But family is very important to us. But what's the most important thing? That's what we're going to look at today, consider today. But I need you to help me answer a few questions. There are questions that aren't strangers to you. You've answered them before, boys and girls. But I want to see if you can remember these things, okay? Let's see if you're still with me. Okay, Q&A means question and answer, right? We got that? We're ready to go? Okay. Who made you? God. Are you sure about that? Okay, we believe that with all our heart. God has made us. Now, here comes another one. What else did God make? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get you, Nathan. I'm going to keep shooting that hand up. I'll get you to answer the next one. Okay. What else did God make? God made all things. Now, here comes one. We're getting closer to what's most important. Why did God make you and all things? Is there any other hands going up? Okay. Let's see. Okay, Hannah. Why did God make you in all things? Because He loves us. I think that's part of the answer. Now, I'm not going to call Micah Caleb. Micah, why did God make you in all things? Woo! Okay, we're going out for hamburgers, okay? You nailed it. Okay, for His own glory, God made you, He made me, and yeah. Okay. Remember, we may see these again in a couple of months, okay? These questions. All right. Now, how can you glorify God? Addie, your hand has gone up so quick every time. How can you glorify God? By worship and praying to God? Yes, that's part of it. I want to amplify that answer a little bit. David, I have to ask you too. Okay, what do you got up your sleeve? Scott, are you his mouthpiece? Or? Okay, that's all right. If it comes to you, you want to say something, let me know. Okay, how can you glorify God? I like that word. You use the love word. By loving Him and keeping His commandments, okay? By loving Him and doing what He commands. That's the way we glorify God. So, but what are His commands? What is His will for us? What does He want us to do? Well, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus says this in the Gospel of John. And He amplified that when once asked, what's the greatest commandment? He replied, you shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart? All your heart. And with how much of your soul?
All.
And with how much of your mind?
All.
So when you walk into this door and we sit to worship and we listen to the words of God as they are revealed to us in the scriptures, the Bible, we don't close our mind off. Now it takes faith to believe in the Christ that is revealed in scriptures. But we don't shut our mind down. We use our mind and we use reason. But we don't trust reason. We trust God and His love as it's revealed in the Word of God. But we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And this is the most important, and this is the first commandment. And that's what we're going to center in on today. And Lord willing, the next time we have a family service in January after our Christmas celebrations will be the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Well, how to love God? If you have an electronic device or you brought your Bibles, you can turn to Exodus 20. It's the Ten Commandments. And you know the first four commandments deal with us and our relating to God. And the next six deal with how we relate to each other as people. But we're going to look a little bit at this Exodus verses, what it tells us to understand how to love God. Okay, we could say a lot about loving God and responding to His love. And we love because He first loved us. All right, keep that in perspective, and we'll amplify that in a few minutes. Okay, you shall have no other gods before me. And so that means, boys and girls, we can't have Jesus and something else. Right? We can't have Jesus, and we'll throw in Buddha, and we'll throw in Allah, and we'll throw in Hare Krishna, and we'll throw in whatever. Wong Dai Sien, a local god here. You shall have no other gods before me. Not Jesus plus something, only Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. There can only be one God in our life. This is found in Exodus 20, verse 3. And 4 through 6, it says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow to them or serve them. And when we read the Old Testament, we can see that this is a mistake that some of the believers of old did. They actually used their hands, and they took gold, melted it, and made it into an object like a cow and a calf, and they worshiped that. They would bow down before it and pray to this object. Now, I haven't seen anybody here do that. None of my family comes from such a background. But you don't have to travel too far in the world. You can go to India, you go to China, you go to Taiwan. We can go to certain places in Hong Kong, certain temples, and you will see images. And people revere those images and even pray to them. The goddess of mercy, there can be all kinds of little artifacts. Beautiful things have been made, artworks, and people bow and worship those. But we're told here, if you're going to love God, you don't do that. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow to them or serve them. I had a friend this week. He sent me a link, and it's a big whiteboard. Maybe you've seen this. And the guy says Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. He's our righteousness, our peace, the way, the truth, and life. And he's writing all these things about Jesus' name up on the whiteboard. And then he takes some paint and he starts just really smearing the paint all over the place. And all of a sudden you have this picture of a portrait of a human person. It's a portrait that looks like the traditional paintings of Jesus. And he even bows down before it, you know. And I'm saying, are we doing something that we've been told not to do? I don't think so. I don't think that guy's going to take his whiteboard and put it in his house and go bow down before the whiteboard and say, hey, Jesus. You know. If you've never seen any chalk drawings that become alive and talks, are really, really neat. It's a neat art. And it's a very powerful tool in communicating Christ. What I'm getting at is, boys and girls, we don't know what Jesus looks like. And He doesn't want us to make a statue of anything, whether it's a bird in the air, whether it's an animal, whether it's another human being. We don't need paintings to worship. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. So you shall not bow to them or serve them. You serve God and you bow down to Him. And you worship Him in spirit and truth through what I call the eyes of faith. We believe you. We can't see you right now, but we hope that one day we will. We believe that you walk this earth. You really were God. You were here. And we're going to see you someday. And you're going to show us all your glory. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Okay, first of all, we have one God. We only worship him. We don't make objects to worship. We don't need a big Buddha on a hill to be something we worship. No. But you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many of you took the name Lord God in vain this past week? Very transparent group here. There's different ways we can do that, right? I very seriously many of you have wished destruction upon your friends. You may have thought that about the person who jumped in front of the line in the queue and you didn't get a seat. You may think these type of things, but very few of us would probably use the name of the Lord. The same Lord's name, we blessed his holy name. We're not going to use that same name and curse people. But some of our friends who don't know Jesus and aren't trying to live in a way that's controlled by his spirit often think that Jesus is the reason for all their problems, right? And so you have a bad shot in golf. What do you say? Jesus, you know, and you're not saying it in a respectful or exalting way. You use Jesus' name in a derogatory fashion. I hear it all the time, and you can hear people at work. You know, something goes wrong, and they're not crying out to Jesus to help. It's just like they're just using it as an expletive, just a word. If you have a problem with that, and many of us have experienced God cleaning up our trash mouths, including me, and I like to use different words now. If you can go for it, go instead of saying stupid stuff, just say the word snap. You know, chicken lips, something. Just other than going into where you use God's name in vain. Now, where I think we as Christians use the name in vain, this is more for a mom and dad aside, is we use it lightly. We use it too jokingly. We're not revering. We're not honoring. We're not respecting it. And we're just way too humorous, too nonchalant, too flippant. I don't know the word, the descriptive, but we're just not revering it. And so we can take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now here comes a heavy one, guys. This is the fourth commandment. And people are still working on this one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Every one of you are trying your best to keep the name of God holy on this Sabbath day. The Lord's Day. Now, how it changed from Saturday to the Lord's Day was simple. Jesus resurrected from the dead. The greatest message that God has said was not the burning on the hilltop in Sinai. The greatest message that God has sent was Jesus Christ shedding his blood for you and me on the hill of Calvary. That changed everything, including the day which we celebrate God. So you've come and you've sang your hearts out, and I really think they meant it. What do you think, worship team? Did you feel that people were with you today? I felt everyone was with us, and you really meant what you're singing, and you're experiencing an exalting of God's name. It's a Sabbath day. It's a day for him to be lifted up. It's also a day to reflect what went on this past week. Well, my son from America came and his girlfriend, and they were with us, and we had some good times. I had a good prayer time with my daughter, Ruth, and I had a good prayer time with my wife. I had some good times with these men in small groups, and I had this great time with this one young couple that's coming to be a new member. All these great things I can reflect upon today and slow down. And that's my work is pastor stuff, right? You can think about your work and how you saw God move. I'll pick on Jesse. He's on the front row. You know, he had to study for his exams, his CPA stuff, and I don't know which exam it is, but he's in one of those. And he's worked hard at it. And I hope you saw God in this all that process. And Sunday's a day to stop and thank God. He is the God who provides you life. He is the God who's given you a future and a direction. We're not here just on this planet to just enjoy and impress others. No, we're here on this planet because we're on a journey to be with him, and he wants to use us to impact this world for his glory. Now, so Sunday is what? A good day to reflect how God has brought you along that past week and what he's got for you this coming week. Now, if we're not careful, we'll fill it up with recreation. That whole word means recreating, recharging, if you will. We can fill it up with all kinds of good activity. You know, we'll go socialize with all these friends and everything, and that can be a really good thing on the Sabbath. I really think we should spend more time eating together and talking with one another on Sundays, and it's part of my habit, and it might be part of yours. You know, but if we run from here to there to that practice, this practice, and we do this sport and that sport, and I'm going to watch football tonight and all this kind of stuff, you know, all of a sudden, boom, there's nothing for time to reflect for God. So, parents, this is your thing, okay? How to do the Sabbath day. How to love God. That's all it's all about. How do I, because he first loved me. Let me go for this just a second. What do you think this guy's doing? I don't know that guy with a stick, but I'd do whatever he said. But this is supposed to be a pedagogue, if you will, is the Greek word. It's the tutor. Now, imagine that's Evelyn Robinson. She's a tutor. Any other tutors out there? Chris is a tutor. That's you, Chris. That doesn't look like Evelyn. That's you. Okay. And the child is being taught, you know, really what he's reading, how to think it through, how to even pronounce it, read it, that kind of stuff. Well, this is what Galatians tells us the law of God served as. It's a tutor to show us that here comes Jesus, full of grace, full of truth, the complete message from God. So Exodus 20 points us to Jesus. Images. Okay? He said, don't make any images. Look what Jesus has to say about, or the scriptures have to say about Jesus. Long ago, back in Moses' time, in different, even before Moses, in creation, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Moses was a prophet. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his, who?
Son.
That's Jesus. Whom he appointed the heir of all things. Everything belongs to him. Through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God. And the exact imprint, and perhaps your version, if it's New International Version, the exact representation of his nature. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. This is the exactness, God in the flesh, the incarnation, the advent, what we'll celebrate at Christmas. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He's the radiance and glory of God, Jesus. Jesus told us when you pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father. It's not James's father. It's not Bonnie's father. It's our Father. Sisters and brothers in Christ, our Father's name is holy. He's God Almighty. He's the God who provides. He's the God who judges. He's the God who saves. He's the God who is coming again. He is the God that holds our very life breath. He is the God who knows everything about me completely. My life before it happens, he knows it. He controls it. He leads me in all these different pastures. Holy is his name, and how could I not but lift his name high? And when Jesus walked this planet, that's all he did was what the Father told him to do. And he only spoke what his Father wanted him to speak. Hallowing the name of God. So moms and dads, we have to be careful if we see ourselves or if we see our children misuse the name. We have to remind ourselves, don't do that. Forgive me, Jesus, for misusing your name. Sabbath. What does he have to say about the Sabbath? And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And if you study Hebrews a little more carefully, you'll see that Jesus being our Sabbath rest. It's very, very deep about how do we have this great relationship with God? How do we keep building and growing deeper in love with God? And that is by celebrating the Lord's Day. And so it's not about, well, I'm not going to watch football. I'm not going to play volleyball on the beach. I'm not going to go out to eat with friends. I'm just going to stay in my home and love God. No, it's not that. It's not about rule keeping at all. God knows you and I work hard. My heart breaks for you kids. I can't believe how hard you have to go to school and you have to take on all that homework. And then many of you have to go see these tutors. You don't have any free time. Many of you. Some of you might not, you know, you might just be skating around all the time. I don't know. But for when I look at Hong Kong in general, you work very hard, kids. And you need a day to get recharged, to spend time, say, God, Mommy, let's pray for this people, let's pray for that people. And I prayed for this guy who eats his homework. You know, whatever it is, you know, pray with your kids. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, so the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Okay. Engage with God. And I'm using this phrase now instead of application. You know, you kind of can go to sleep in my sermon, but when James gets the application, maybe you still, well, let's see what he's going to do. It's nothing new. We've already said it. But Lord, I want to worship and serve you. I don't mean you have to come and participate and help in the planning and execution of events like Kids in the Park. That's great. I'm praying that God would raise up some men who will feel called and touched by him to be elders in this church. And that's a lot of serving within the church. But the joys from that, I think if Tom and Martin, I was in a praying with someone this morning, it kind of reminded me, I got to get Tom and Martin up here to share what they have experienced as elders. And encourage you guys, you know, they're just normal people like you men, but the joy of serving. But guys, this isn't where your service is. Your reasonable service is that daily worship, that going to work, wherever you work, that going to school. If you're a homemaker, that how you do the home life and give charge to all that, and how you interact with your friends and you play out, play with and hang out, you know, this is where you're serving. You are the priest. You are the prophet for these people who are in your network. So worshiping, serving Jesus daily, engaging with God. This is what I mean. Take this love God with what? All your heart, soul, and mind. And that means the 24/7 life that I live. And most of that is either in the workplace or with my friends I hang out with and family and play with. Exalt the name of Jesus. And we're not gonna get into this using God's name in vain. No, we want to uplift the name in my prayers with my family around the table. I want to uplift the name of Jesus when I'm talking to people about Christ. And most important, on Sundays, I'll come and exalt the name of Jesus in song. Do you guys like to listen to iTunes or something, you know? Plug in your ear and listen to music. I like to listen to what do you call worship music, if you will, whether it's classical or contemporary. And it's really neat to listen to. But I tell you what, when I come here and sing with you, and again, we're not professional musicians. We're not bad. We're pretty good. We're getting better. But we're not. I don't think we're cutting any CDs this week, right? But the spirit of singing together and exalting and lifting the name of God together. That's good stuff. I've got one friend of mine, he attends here. I'm not going to mention these people's names, but he's told me, he said, James, I've had to make a decision, and it's hard for him. He comes from a country that really loves the sport of rugby. But you know, if you get your child in rugby, you're going to have to adjust how you worship, because it'll conflict with Sunday morning worship time. I've raised my kids, and we were very sports enthusiasts, and occasionally we'd have a soccer match or an ice hockey match, and it would interfere with worship. And, you know, I'd take that one off. I'm okay with that. But when you're looking at the long term, week after week after week, what worship alternatives are there for you? Well, I thought maybe we could start a new church of the rugby union and meet in the evening. That's one way to handle that problem. But the other is, see, our culture has gone where sports now has become the idol. And it's very important that I be part of the sports world. And beforehand, when we had the Reformation, and the Word of God was restored both in the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation within the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, we started to say, what? This is a holy day again. And it impacted the whole culture. But now the culture has gone anti-Christian. It's gone post-Christian. And so recreation dominates Sunday. So you dads and your wives together, you have to come up, how do we do the Lord's Day? My one brother says, I can't get my kid in rugby. Another man has told me how he uses this day exclusively to relax with his family, to do things with them, and particularly in the evening, look at some questions and pray together. How are you guys doing at loving God? Let's pray. Father, I wish those words weren't love you with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul. If it's just a little bit, I think maybe I'd feel better. Father, you know how we all have used your name lightly and flippantly, and maybe some of us have even used it to curse others this week. Forgive us. You know where we can get up in the day and we serve self. We don't think about serving you and glorifying you in the workplace or at school. Forgive us. For some of us who do worship regularly and preach regularly, we can say, oh, it's another day to work. But no, that's not it. This is the day to love you, Lord, and to receive your Lord. Forgive us when we look at Sundays as kind of a nuisance, when we would just rather stay at home in bed. Forgive us. But we praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are our righteousness. You who worshiped the Lord and served him so perfectly. You who lifted up God the Father as the Son of God. You were his lamb that was sent to be slain for us. And you exalted his name. And we know that it's all in with you, the Holy Spirit and the Father God. And praise be to you, for you are our righteousness. And you are the Sabbath. You're the Lord of the Sabbath. You're our Sabbath rest. And we just thank you so much, dear Lord. You helped those Pharisees and others see what really the worship of you is supposed to be about. And so not in us is any righteousness, but in you alone. And so we come to your table, and that's what we celebrate. None is righteous, no, not one before you. But your body and your blood was given for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. And we praise you as we remember you. So come, Lord Jesus, and bless this table. In Christ's name, amen. I could ask Martin to come down and help me prepare the table for the communion. We're told in scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 31, that we should be careful when we come to the Lord's table and celebrate it, that we don't take the elements in an unworthy manner. And in Corinth, that church there, some people really die because they took it in an unworthy manner. Oops, you okay, girl? Sorry. Moms and dads, I know some of your children have started taking the elements, eating and drinking. And I believe you have talked to them about what it means that Jesus died for them, and they really understand that. But if they don't understand that yet, please refrain from taking the elements, all right? Now, Jesus has given us two beautiful ways to express our unity with him, our oneness in Christ. And this is one of them. This is what we call the sacrament of the Lord's table. The other one is called the sacrament of baptism. And if you want to put the cart before the horse, usually it's baptism and then it's communion. And so some of you young people, I was baptized at age 8 and a half. I really believe I knew Jesus then. I didn't walk closely with him from 12 to 23. He got a hold of me and things have been really great since. But what I'm getting at is, moms and dads, don't just choose one of the sacrament over the other. If you love me, you will do what? You will obey my commandments. My commandment is that you go and teach and preach the gospel to all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And my will is that you eat and drink in remembrance of me. These are commandments that Jesus said. I didn't make these up. You love him? You keep his commandments. Okay. Because he first loved you. So we come to this table in a worthy manner when we have seen that only Jesus. There's no elders of the church. There's no pastor of the church. There's no worship team. There's just saved sinners here today by the grace of God. And we celebrate that unity, that his body was given for us. Let's search our own hearts. Is there something that you need to ask God to forgive? Either behavior or words you've said, some evil thoughts. You need to confess that up. Let's do that now. And this, prepare our hearts. Just ask, Holy Spirit, am I taking this in a worthy manner? Let's pray. Lord, again, we say no one has loved Father God the way they should, but you. You who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. The righteousness we have, the goodness we have, comes not from our behaviors, but from our faith in you. We don't trust ourselves, but we trust you. And we want to take this bread, we want to take this cup in a way that honors you. And Lord, is there anything in my heart, is there anything in my brothers and sisters' hearts here that we need to confess up to you? Move us, Holy Spirit. We thank you. Your word has promised, if we confess our sins, you are just and faithful to forgive us of all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we want to come to this table and celebrate you. And we thank you. We thank you for this gift of the sacrament. Amen.